Hello and welcome to Pinot Perfume. As always, I am your host, Sarah Chacon. And this week I have a special guest with me, my friend, Christina Schoen. Hello, Christina.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How about you?
Good. We had an awesome brunch this morning. So
oh, we did too.
Full and happy.
You guys, go out?
Yeah, we met some friends up at Fresco's.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went to a spot called Metro Diner here and had like brunch. I wouldn't call it brunch because Tony hates the word. He claims to hate brunch. But so we went out to breakfast, but it was like at 10:30. So it was basically brunch.
Breakfast can be any time of the day. Like there's no bad time in the day to have a waffle. Like,
right.
Just there's no bad day.
No. So for those of you listening, I met Christina through our mutual husbands. At the time, I think when we were met, we were still dating both of our men. So we hadn't gotten married yet. But our men used to work together at a spot called Brew Hub, which if you are in the Orlampa area, which is anywhere between Tampa, Orlando, and everything around it, definitely stop by Brew Hub. This is super insular to Florida, but so if you're international or out of state listening, just tune this out right now. But if you go down I-4, you might have seen the building. It's like a big building with like little beer caps, like bottle caps on the side. And they are a contract brewery, meaning that they brew beers for other breweries who don't have the facilities to distribute on their end or like mass produce. But they also have their own line and they also have a tasting room. So and that's where her husband works now. Tony no longer works there, but they still talk shop every time we get together. So that's how we met. And like I said, at the time we were dating. I think when I first met you, it was at, I think it might have been like the first beer festival that Brew Hub did. It might have been the first or the second.
So that was Harbinger. So Harbinger was in like 2015. That was our 1 year anniversary.
Yeah.
But we were also neighbors.
Oh, that's right. I totally forgot about it.
Yeah.
We were neighbors. We lived in the same apartment complex in Plant City. And it's funny because Chris, your husband, you and us, we all lived in the same apartment complex and obviously didn't realize that until like Tony and Chris started working together. And then Chris got together with you, who also lived in the same complex. So
I know that we were actually like reminiscing about that the other day. Like, what are the chances that like you find really amazing, wonderful, lifelong friends and you find your future spouse in an apartment complex? Like
in Plant City of like all places. Yeah. No, that's kind of like really like the odds are really large of that happening if you think about it. Like that's super cool. I never really thought about it like that, but yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's really obscure, but
Yeah. So we've been I didn't know Harbinger was that long ago, like 2015. Yeah,
It was the first Harbinger was 2015.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because I think Tony and I had already been dating like a year and a half, maybe 2 years. I don't even remember. But yeah, like that makes sense. It just doesn't seem like it's been that long.
I know, it's crazy. And that was also the day, because we had just started dating. Mm-hmm. And that was also the day that I met his dad and stepmom.
That's right. I was going to bring that up because I remember we were at the bar and you were like, I'm meeting the family today. And you're like,
yeah, I didn't know that.
He snuck it up on you, right?
Sprung that on me. I had never been I've been to one beer festival before and it was with like friends at the House of Blues in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't even remember what that was called. Anyway. So, like, this was the second beer event I'd ever been to, and I don't know the etiquette, and I'm overthinking everything, you know, because it's, like, a big deal or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I see him hand his glass to, like, this very attractive lady.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is this what we do? Or do we share glasses with people? I don't know. Like, I'm such a, like, it was horrible. And then they walk towards me, and Chris goes, "Oh, this is my stepmom, Diane." And I was like, and then I feel a hand on my shoulder and I turn around and I see this guy and he's like, "Oh, hey, I'm Tim. I'm Chris's dad." And I'm like, "Warn me before I meet the parents," because I was not ready. I was not prepared. So it was, right. It was funny after that. But
that's funny. Yeah, that was a good time. I think that one, like, Tony got progressively drunker throughout the day. And
what did he wear? The lederhosen.
Yeah.
And wore the lederhosen.
He wore the lederhosen and like a top hat with like all of his beer pins on it. And I remember by the end of the day, because I was drinking too, but I was still sober because I knew that he was going to get lit. And I was like, one of us obviously needs to drive. And sorry, I heard like something crash. I don't know what he's doing out there. but yeah, so by the end of the day, I remember he had like one of the he took the taster glass. He had a couple of those that they were glass. And he was just like smashing them on the ground, like in the parking lot. And I was like, we're done. We need to go. Yeah. Like, I don't know where this like weird burst of like energy slash rage came from right now, but we need to go. So yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh my god, I remember that like yesterday. It's crazy that it's like now we're sitting in 2021.
I know. Yeah,
that was 2015. Like, it was ages ago.
Yeah, like 6 years ago.
I know. Yeah. And the grand scheme of things is not that long ago, but it does. It feels like, it's just like your relationship, right? Like, you feel like you've been together for a really, really, really long time, but not in a bad way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, and a lot has happened since then, too. Like, with everything going on in the world, us personally, like, there's just a lot of shit that's happened.
Yeah, definitely.
So speaking of beer, I know we went over this before we started recording, but what are you drinking today?
So, the beer guy has started slowly, progressively, aggressively getting into bourbon and whiskeys. So I was like, hey, I forget that he was a bartender and he can like make drinks and stuff.
Oh,
so I've been spoiled lately. But I'm drinking Four Roses and a Dr. Pepper cream and soda, cream soda.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That sounds good.
I'm not mad, Dr. Pepper. I'm not mad. I don't really drink. Like, I don't mix drinks usually, mm-hmm. but today just felt like a good day to mix.
Yeah, no, that sounds like it goes really well together, too. Because I like a whiskey and Coke, or like a whiskey / bourbon and a dark colored soda. Doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be a Coke, but that sounds really good.
No, yeah. And like with the cream soda, it just adds a little bit of a sweetness and it's, because I like cream soda.
Yeah. Oh, hey, nothing wrong with that. And I am drinking something that you put me onto, and it is banana pudding moonshine. I think the brand is like Appalachian Sippin' Cream.
Yeah. And I have the bottle. I think it's, oh gosh, it's Appalachian Sippin' Cream, but the maker is Sugarland Farm. I think it's Sugarland.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool. It's good. It's, I think it's like 40 proof or something crazy. And it goes down real smooth. So it's real dangerous because that shit will sneak up on you. Cause I can put down, like, obviously I'm sipping on it, like I'm not shooting it, but
yeah,
you can put a couple of these down and like be good.
We went to, so when I found that, we were in Tennessee with my family and mm-hmm. then we had to go to Kentucky afterwards, and we met with his family and his stepmom, his sister, and I drank an entire one of those just between the three of us one night, and we were very happy.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, it's I think I've been working on mine not long. I feel like he got it a couple weeks ago, and it's almost like over half empty.
Yeah,
like I just passed the halfway mark today pouring this one. So
it's really easy to do. And you like coffee, right?
I do.
So I think I gave you a little bit of the coffee from Old Smoky? I don't know. But you pour that, a little bit of that in coffee, and
I know that one. That's my next. Because like, I didn't know. He was surprising with it. Went to Total. He and his brother, like his brother was in town. Total Wines. I don't think they could find the coffee one, but they found the banana pudding one. So that's my next quest, is to find the coffee one and put that shit in coffee, especially for those work days where you're just like, fuck everything.
Seriously, somebody told me something, and I'm not working from home anymore. I'm back in the office just because, like, you've got, you know, enough space and there's not a ton of people and stuff. So they wanted us back in the office. I mean, of course, if we're, like, really nervous or something, we can work from home. Mm-hmm. But someone did tell me, and I was going to try it. I was going to. But you put, like, alcohol of some kind in a coffee cup and you blow on it occasionally to make it look like you're, you know.
Yeah.
Cooling your coffee a little bit, just take a little sip. Yeah. I was like, why did I not think about this before?
It's so easy to do because it's like, what are they gonna do? Like, unless you're a dum-dum about it and just like pound it and you like reek of alcohol, nobody's gonna know. Just like you said, just like little sips, you nurse it, and it just makes the day, especially if it's a particularly tough day where you're dealing with a lot of bullshit, that much easier.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, cool. So I guess we can get into scent of the week. All right, so you're my guest, Christina. You can go first. What are you wearing this week?
So I am wearing something that I normally wear every day, and it is one of my favorites. It's called Innis. And it's actually from Ireland. So it's kind of, I found it a long, long time ago. And of course, this is when you're young and dumb and broke and you can't afford nice things. And it was like, I don't know, like $55 for a bottle. And I told myself, I was like, okay, one day, Christina, one day you're going to be able to afford this and you're going to look, because every time I wear it or I smell it, it's like, I don't know. It's just, it's very energizing. It's refreshing. It you know, brings you, it's just like with every good perfume, it imprints a certain type of memory. Mm-hmm. And I finally bought a bottle, and it is absolutely, it's bad. I call it purse perfume. Mm-hmm. That is the bottle that I put in my purse and I bring with me literally everywhere just because. Really?
It's good, though. Like, I didn't mean to cut you off, but, like, it's very refreshing. It's very clean smelling. So it's, yes.
It's one of my favorites. So that's my fragrance of the week / fragrance of a lifetime.
Like, that's, in, like, your top. You will always probably own it now.
Always will own it.
Now, I was looking them up. Do they sell online? Because I looked at them a little bit, and they look like that they support, like, small business owners. So I don't know if they have an online boutique or if it's, like, you have to wait until, like, you go to a store that carries them.
So, yeah, you have to get it from a store. So I actually, as weird as it sounds, this bottle I actually got in Delonica when we were in Georgia before COVID hit. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you can find on their website. So it's, like, Innis. Let's see. I have it on my computer. Hold on. So it's innisfragrance.com. And using their website, you can find boutiques and stores that carry it. Because it is imported from Ireland.
Cool.
So, and though I just found out they have a fragrance diffuser.
Oh,
I'm going to have to get one of those. And even when you like read the reviews, because Chris is like really big on reviews. Like if it has a bad review, like we're probably not going to get it. but there was somebody on here who like, they said like they never write reviews or anything like that ever. And he walked into a store one day or somewhere and he's like, what is that smell? It smells so good. And they said it was the Innis diffuser. And he's like, I quickly went to go buy it. 5 weeks later, the product is still strong. It's still fragrant. No issues or anything. And he's like, I've tried a lot of other brands, but none, like absolutely none come close to this brand.
Yeah, it's a really good. Yeah, now that you think about like, because it's a clean smell and it's almost kind of like you said, it's like reminiscent of like the ocean in Ireland. So it's kind of like a clean, I don't know if aquatic's a good word, but like a clean, kind of almost a little bit salty, fresh smell. And there's really nothing, because I've smelled like fresh perfumes and, you know, obviously like, you know, aquatic stuff before. But yeah, this one is on a whole nother level. And it actually, I would say it's probably the fragrance that, because I sampled it with you, you let me sample yours, that smells like I could actually see myself like on the cliffs of Ireland or whatever, like the wind blowing in my hair, sniffing this. Like it smells like it's actually the atmosphere of that.
Yep. And it's not overwhelming. It's very light. It's not overly perfumey. It's not, you know, where it's overbearing, because you know how, like, when you're in a rush and you're trying to just spray really quick in the car, and then if you do one spray, it's too many.
Yep.
You smell like you got smashed in the face with a floral bouquet.
Yep.
And it makes everybody else kind of uncomfortable, and like it's just a little overwhelming.
Yeah.
So with this, I never have had that issue. Someone put on lotion because I work in agriculture. Mm-hmm. So one of the ladies that I was working with, I just noticed her putting on some lotion, and I didn't really smell it right away. And then I gave it a couple more minutes, and I was like, is that Innis? And she's like, what do you know about Innis? So it's like, it doesn't seem like it's overly known.
Yeah.
But like the people who know it, love it. And yeah. I have the lotion in my office. Like I always have one of them close to me because it's just that, I don't know, it brings it makes you feel like you're on a faraway land and you smell the sea spray and you feel in your head, you picture like fields of green grass and cliffs and birds, and it makes you feel that.
Yeah.
So that's one reason why, like I said, that is like my perfume for life.
That's cool. Yeah. And it's kind of nice now, especially since travel's kind of restricted depending on where you're going. Like if you can't go to Ireland, at least you have a little bit of Ireland with you where you could smell it and get transported to, you know, back there and have a little bit of a vacation or whatever, a little bit of an escape, I should say.
Well, and then I was looking at it because, I mean, I love this perfume. So I was trying to see if they had like a cologne for men, mm-hmm. and it's actually unisex.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, and like, just to test the theory, I sprayed some on Chris and I was like, bet. It seems like it kind of changes with each person.
Yeah. Scents can do that. Cause it's like each person's like skin chemistry or whatever, it reacts differently. And it's kind of cool. Cause it's like, I hate when there's like some women who are just like, I don't tell people what I'm wearing cause I don't want them to copy, but it's like, that's stupid. Cause like everybody's going to end up wearing the same shit at some point just because.
Oh yeah.
But also it's like something that smells the same scent that something, I can't speak. It's the moonshine.
How you know it's working.
I know, exactly. It's good. By the end of this episode, I'm just going to be like, aw. but no, like you and like the Innis, like it smells different on you than it probably does on him. And that's kind of, it makes it personal, I guess. Mm-hmm. Kind of personalizes it a bit.
Yeah. What's yours?
So mine is, I'm working off of a sample. It's called Oud Satin Mood. Ooh. And yeah, it's perfumer, it's from Maison Francis Corchon. And I looked that name up because I had been butchering this dude's last name. I've been calling him Kirk Dijon because it's spelled KURKDJIAN. And I've been watching like YouTube videos, reviews of like his other fragrances, and everybody butchers his last name. So I looked it up this time and I was like, oh, never would have pronounced it like that. But the more you know, right?
Yeah.
So this guy, he is the nose, the perfumer behind the infamous Baccarat Rouge 540, which smells like another one of your scents you put me onto that you own, which is Oula Rouge from Christian Siriano. I think, like, and I've heard reviews of Baccarat Rouge 540. People say it smells sweet. I don't get that. To me, it smells like the woody pops out on me, like deeper notes. And to me, it was like dead, you know, dead duplicate for Oula Rouge. So he has his own, that's where Baccarat Rouge 540 is like from his own fragrance line, but he also has done some like mainstream scents. So Burberry Her, he did that. Jean-Paul Gaultier Le Mal, that's like the most famous, I guess, scent in that line. He's mm-hmm. a creation behind that. He's done like a whole bunch of other stuff like Nina Ricci, L'Extase Rose Absolue, he's done that. And I think the original L'Extase Rose from Nina Ricci. So he's done a bunch of other perfumes for like different brands. And he opened up his own because I guess he's always loved perfume. He's French Armenian. And so I was like, to be fair, like his perfumes are expensive, but his sample sets, like you can order a set of four and they're 2 milliliters, which is pretty good. Like I get four wears, like 4 days of wear time out of this, which is more than enough to decide if someone's on the fence, like if they want to, you know, buy a bottle or buy a dupe, if, you know, they can't afford an actual bottle. And it's like 14 euros, which with the currency exchange was like, I think I got charged like $18 and some change, something like that. So it's not bad, especially because a lot of other like high-end fragrance sample sets are more expensive and you get less. So for instance, Creed, they have a set of three. So I bought a sampler set last year with three, and I don't even think it was a full 2 milliliters. I think it was like maybe just under that. And that was like 3 for $30. And I bought another sample set recently from Frederick Malle. It was like, not bad. It was $35 for 6 samplers, and it was like 1.2 milliliters. So when you look at that, like I haven't broken it down for like cost per milliliter because math, but when you look at it that way, like I feel like MFK has like a really good deal for his sample sets for high end. So I highly encourage anybody to order the sample sets directly from his website. They do ship obviously to the US. I think it's a good deal and you get plenty of wares and you can make up your mind. So Baccarat Rouge, I liked. I think it was a little bit overhyped. Still a beautiful scent, overhyped, especially for the price. It's like $300 or something crazy. This one was the second one. As I've been trying to get into oud, it's a deeper note, and it's a very like Middle Eastern kind of resiny sweet note. And it's one of those, it's hit or miss. Like it's got to be blended just right, because my first experience with oud was with another sampler from Penhaligon's, and it was a perfume called the Uncompromising Sohan, and it was like pepper and like oud was at the base, and I couldn't get down with that fragrance because the pepper was so strong that it almost smelled like kind of rubbery. Like it was just that, but then like once that went away, the oud, it was like a little bit deeper and a little bit sweeter, and it smelled really nice. And then I blind bought a fragrance called Shagaf Oud from a company called Swiss Arabian. It's supposed to be, it was like roses. Ooh, I love roses. It was like roses, vanilla, I think, praline oud. It was supposed to be like sweet. I looked up reviews. It was like, everybody was like, this is so decadent and chocolatey. And so I bought it. And I couldn't do it. It was so much oud. It was almost made me throw up. It was so gross. Oh, and then, I know. And I tried to make it work. And then Tony looked at me and he's like, you stink. And I was like, nope, we're selling this. he's never told me I stink. He's not been a fan of a lot, some of my perfumes. But he's never flat out said, you stink. Like, can't be having that. So,
Tony.
I know. So this one I was like, I didn't have high hopes for it. So I'm like, oh, I don't know. But this is actually really pretty. So the notes in Oud Satin Mood are, let me scroll down here. Bulgarian rose, Turkish rose, vanilla, oud, benzoin, and violet. And to me, like my first impression when I first smelled it was like, this is really dark and sexy. And it is, but the longer it's on you, the sweeter it pulls, but not in like a cloying way. It's when you first spray it, you get the oud, you get the roses. And then like the longer you wear it, it's the oud and the vanilla, like the vanilla is more prominent and it really softens the oud and it makes it super sweet. And like in this fragrance will last a long time. So when you first spray it on, when it projects, probably like an hour, I would say, depending on how heavy you spray. But it'll last you all day. Like it'll calm down, it'll kind of sit closer to the skin. But people who will like give you a hug or, you know, get close to you, they'll still be able to smell it. But it, again, I think it's very pretty and it's actually pretty soft and it's not super offensive if you're not heavy handed. Like I think this is one of those you can't be heavy handed with. And like at the 6+ hour mark is when I notice it gets sweeter. And to me, it's not like quite the same, but it almost kind of smells like cotton candy a little bit. Like it's really weird, but it's not like juvenile, you know. It doesn't smell like I just douse myself in like some shit from Walmart that's like cotton candy flavor, you know. Like it's really, really nice. And it feels like, I feel like if this, like if a cashmere sweater were a perfume, it would be this, because it's like warm, it's cozy, and it's soft, and it's really, really nice. So unfortunately, what I don't like about this fragrance and why I will probably not buy it anytime soon is the price. It is, anybody who's familiar with this house, they know Korchon ain't cheap. Oud Set Mood. So it comes in two sizes, a 2.4 fluid ounce or 6.8 fluid ounce. The smaller of the two is 195 euros, which when you convert it to dollars is roughly $236.31. It's, yeah. This is for like if you bougie and if you have the money to be bougie. Like I have the money to be bougie on a budget, so this does not fit my budget right now.
Well, I mean, even still, and that's one thing like I don't understand about perfumes and is like it's really difficult for me to kind of wrap my head around is sometimes the price point. Because if it's, you know, I mean, for the Ulla Rouge, I think with the lipstick, it was like $85.
Yeah.
Which was hard for me to just justify, but I was like, hey, it comes with the lipstick, it's fine.
Right. And it's full sized.
Yeah. But the fact that like a small little thing is, you know, I mean, especially in the world of COVID and everything, like how do you justify something at that price point?
Right. And it's like, there are some fragrances that I have that are more expensive. A couple of those I bought in France. So it was like vacation, souvenirs. And there was a couple that I bought last year that I can't justify with vacation, but it was like, they were expensive, but they were still, I really like them so much. So I'm like, I would really love to own these so I can bite the bullet this one time. But those are few and far between. Like most of mine are either super cheap to like mid-range. So like the other day, yesterday, I picked up Fancy by Jessica Simpson Ross. Yeah, it's really nice. Ross was selling it like the 30 milliliter bottle for like $13. And it's good. Like, and it smells really nice. Like it smells like a more expensive perfume. Like it doesn't smell cheap or it doesn't smell cheap at all. So, but yeah, it's hard. Like when it gets into the $200, like high 100s, $200 up. And that's where I'm just like, I can't reasonably justify buying something like this. Like this is one of those special occasion fragrances that I could possibly see purchasing, like if you pay off your house, because now you have more money that's not going to mortgage. Maybe if you pay off a car, you know, if you're getting divorced and that's something that you want to celebrate, you know, yeah. Like something like that. Or maybe if you're having a midlife crisis and you just are every which way but loose. I mean,
instead of buying the Camaro, you buy that. Or
exactly.
The Corvette or whatever exactly. It might be.
And in that case, this is a more fiscally responsible purchase because it's not in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's only going to cost you a few hundred dollars. But if you're someone who can't afford this or wants to splurge, no judgment, your best bet is to order it from the MFK website, because if you order it, like places like Bloomingdale's and Saks Fifth Avenue do carry it, but for the smaller size, it'll run you $300. Whereas if you order direct from the website, you're only going to pay $236, and shipping is free. So they have complimentary shipping on all orders. So it's still expensive, but if you can afford to fork out $300, you might as well save yourself like a few bucks and just buy it directly from MFK. Now, it might take a little bit longer to get to you since it's coming from overseas, and with COVID, you know, who knows, shipping times might get delayed, but I would rather wait. Like if I'm the type of person who's going to buy this fragrance, I would rather save a few bucks and wait than the instant gratification. And that's where it's like Saks Fifth is the same. They'll charge you about $300 for the 6.8 Saks Fifth. They'll charge you $565, and if you order directly from MFK's website, it's 385 euros, and that is, I got my little conversion, that's $466.55. So still expensive, but not 500 plus expensive. So that's my hot tip. But yeah, now I've been on kind of on a fragrance low buy because we're trying to save and, you know, all adult shit. But there are a bunch of clone houses now, which some people have opinions about clone houses. They think that it takes money away from the bigger brands. I don't think that at all. I have no problem with clone houses because I think it's a great way to kind of like bring more expensive scents, make them more affordable so more people can have access to them, you know? So I know Duo Fragrances has a clone. Fragrinza has a clone. I'm pretty sure like other clone houses like Ult and I don't know if Armoff does, but I will probably be sampling them to see if I can find a reasonable dupe because those will run you like $60. I know Duo frequently has sales that'll be like 20 or 30% off. So I think their regular 50 mil is like 68, but if you get it on sale, it's considerably cheaper. And I have a clone. I have actually a Duo fragrance that's a clone of Tom Ford's Lost Cherry. And I think they did a great job because I bought a little decant from eBay that was like $40 or whatever. Because the full bottle of Lost Cherry is like $350. Like it's insanely expensive too. So I got like a little decant off of eBay and then I got a sample of the Pop Cherry and did like a side-by-side comparison. And honestly, I couldn't really tell that much of a difference. Like when it dries down, it smells the exact same. And I think the Duo one was better because for as much as I do love Tom Ford, the Lost Cherry, it didn't last at all. Like it was like maybe 3 to 4 hours. And it's like, if somebody's going to spend $200, that shit better last you all day, you know?
Stick for a long time. Like, I mean, I'm talking like 2-3 days, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I wanted to smell it all the time on me. And it did, and it was a beautiful scent, but it just didn't last. But the Duo fragrance, that shit lasts. And it was like $68 in comparison. And I was like, this is within what I'm willing to spend on it. And like I said, they did a great job. I don't feel like I'm missing anything. So I'll have to do some sampling, but I'm sure I can probably find a comparable dupe for this fragrance if and when I get ready to buy it.
Well, have you tried, not that I'm plugging, but have you tried Scentbird?
Mm-mm. No, I would like to, but I've got a lot of bottles that I got to get through before I get.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Christmas came early. so it was my month for, or, you know, I literally like just got it. Oh. My Scentbird shipment.
Ooh.
And it's Dolce & Gabbana Light Blue. And this is actually where I found the Eau Rouge. Because I forgot to pick my fragrance or whatever. So they just sent me like the fragrance of the month. And it comes in like a little vial like this and you just put it in your perfume diffuser thing.
And it's supposed to be like a month's worth, correct?
Yeah. So it's 30 days worth. So every 30 days you get a new one. And it's small to where you can try it. And like I said, that's how I found the Eau Rouge. Mm-hmm. And apparently, I don't know, because after I got it, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so, this is one of my new favorite fragrances. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to find it, and I couldn't find it. So I don't know if they hadn't fully launched it yet, or it wasn't for sale yet, or whatever it was. And then I kept trying to, like, go on Scentbird and get more of them. And they're like, no, you have to wait 6 months. I'm like, what? 6 months?
Yeah.
But I found that this is a good way. And I don't know if it would like, I mean, you know, all of like this way better than I do. And they kind of tell you what like the scents are and stuff like that. So if you're looking for a particular scent, but it's definitely like a new way of trying different fragrances. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, you'd probably fully unleash on there, but
that would be so dangerous for me.
I mean, I will pay for your subscription.
Oh, okay. Because it's not bad. It's like, what, $14 a month or something like that?
$14.95 a month. The only thing I would say about Scentbird is don't try and move when you have a subscription.
Oh, did they like fuck that up when you guys moved?
Yes.
Oh, sure. God.
And then if you don't change it like 2 months before you move or something like that, then you have to pay your money for your subscription, but you don't get a fragrance. That's not cool.
No.
So I complained enough and they were like, okay, we'll fix it. So that's one thing that I would say about Scentbird that's kind of bad, but I mean, I like being able to try different things.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a good way to do it. Like you said, it's a low commitment. You can try different things. It's like a month spray. And if you don't like it, you can like give it to somebody who might, or it's not like you shelled out 30, 40, 50, 60 plus dollars on a bottle and you're just like, ooh, this is not working out.
Yeah. So literally like this little thing, it's like point two milliliters, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so Ula Rouge came like this and then I was like, yup, doing it.
Yeah. You're not going to like it because you already smelled it.
Right. And there's some that I'm just like, I don't like this. Yeah. I'm like, hey, do you like this? And I'll just give it away because it's like $15, you know, try something different.
And they have a good variety. Like, I feel like they have like all sorts. Like, I think they have like, you know, they have like designer and mainstream, but I think they can have like some pricier fragrances on there too. So it's like, you can, that's
they
a way
do.
To.
So yeah. Like, I mean, it, you know, just on their website, it has like Prada, Dolce & Gabbana, Michael Kors, DKNY, like, you know, different brands and stuff. But just scrolling through, there's Rebecca Minkoff, Bella Bianca. I probably butchered that. But I mean, Philosophy. So there's like, there's just a bunch of different Christian Serrano, Sense of Wood, Pink Sugar. Like there's a ton of different kinds. And then you can search for, like, I kind of want to try this Pink Sugar because the main fragrance note is cotton candy. So now I'm curious about those cotton candy scents. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I have a bottle of Pink Sugar. It's nice. Next time we hang out, I'll bring it so you can try it out. Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
It's night and it's light. Like, so it's cotton candy, which I've like really just leaned in because I realized I've loved, I like sweet scents and I just like really leaned into like the sweet gourmand scents. And so I was like, I bought it blindly because it's so cheap. Like you can get it at like Marshall's, TJ Maxx and stuff too. And it's cotton candy sweet, but to me it's light. So it's not, I didn't find it heavy or cloying, which is nice. Cause I feel like something like that could get like headache inducing like real quick, but this one was pretty.
Yeah.
Was pretty. So highly recommend. But how do you like the light blue? Is it the regular light blue or is it the intense version?
Let's see. It just said the Pink Sugar?
No, the light blue, the one that you just got.
Oh, sorry. JK. So the fragrance notes are lemon, apple, cedar, bamboo, and bluebell.
Mm-hmm.
And it does smell like, it does smell very light. Like, of course, it's different than when you like put it in the bottle kind of, or like, smell out of the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that's very light. It's not overwhelming. You can definitely smell like the green apple.
Mm.
So that's one thing that I really, really like. And just the woody, like the cedar and the bamboo is like it's on the back end.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like it comes out more later. But that apple is like the apple lemon crisp, fresh. It's right on the nose when you spray it, when you start wearing it, that kind of thing. So whenever it came in, I was like, I got excited.
Yeah, it's like a little present each month, like a little something.
Well, and then, okay, so on the 15th was Happy Perfume Day.
That's right. You definitely let me know.
I know, because I was trying to find some things.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a, so they have like a, they put a bunch of quotes together from like Happy Perfume Day.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a funny story if you've got a second. So, one of the quotes, or you know, one of the posts that was for Happy Perfume Day, mm-hmm. was "You are never fully dressed without perfume."
I would agree.
I would strongly agree with that because we went to dinner last night. We had a very it was a place that usually you have to wait days for reservations. Mm-hmm. And I called, I was like, they're probably not going to have a table. They had a table. So we had to be there in 30 minutes. So I thrown things on, took a quick shower, do all that stuff, put perfume on, mm-hmm. forgot my wedding ring.
Oh.
So we're sitting at dinner and there's a couple at a table. Like, you know, I can see them. Chris can't see them. And Chris is wearing his wedding ring and I am not. So what does that look like?
Yeah. Looks like you're the other woman.
Right, exactly. And I think that's how that was coming across because the gentleman at the table definitely looked at me several times and just shook his head. I'm like,
oh my God.
Oh my gosh. So, and like the first time I was like, oh, it's probably he's just talking to the lady. Second time I was like, third and fourth time I'm like, I got you, buddy. I got you. I forgot. I remembered my perfume.
Yeah.
Wedding ring.
That never thought, because like Tony never wears his wedding ring. He's always losing it, which so, and so he never wears it. So I never even thought to be like, oh, does it look like I have like a little boy toy or something? Like, you know, I just never thought about it, but that's funny. But yeah, no, I definitely like, I'll forget to wear, like, put, I think one time I put on, I forgot deodorant, but I had on perfume. It's like, it's like, that's like always top of my mind. Well, it's like today, like we got home from like brunch and we like Tony gave our dog Ava, she's a mini schnauzer for the listeners, I know you know who she is, a cut because she's like super shaggy, look like a little mop, so he gave her a cut and then I gave both dogs a bath, so I was, and then I had to switch out from the shirt that I was wearing because it has dog hair and stuff all over it to like my don't be a salt bitch tank top, and so like I was like, I'm not put together at all, but I'm like, I got that perfect, I got this like fancy bougie ass perfume on, so I smell like a friggin' royalty, but I look like a mess. But yeah, it's, but I still feel fine. Like, and that's, and I think because I'm trying to get Tony to wear cologne more, and he's starting to get into it. But my theory is that people may not always remember like what you look like and like what you wear, but I feel like they will remember if you smell good. Mm-hmm. I feel like that will stick with them. So that's what I tell myself doing.
Oh, no, for sure. And, like, it was just, that's, and that's why I say, like, I have, like, my purse perfume.
Mm-hmm.
Because you never really forget, but there's times where, like, you're just in a situation where you're, like, I don't have anything.
Yeah.
And I don't know what I've been doing, and I'm running like a crazy person. So it's just nice to, like, kind of recharge the batteries, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting what, like, perfume can do for, like, for you personally. So, I know whenever you were over here, we were talking about the different Christian Serranos that I have. Mm-hmm. Because I have Silhouette. Mm-hmm. And then I also had, like, that little sampler of, like, Silhouette Midnight. And we're like, ooh, she make you feel a way. Like, you, like, I can see myself in, like, stilettos and, like, a black dress. And just, yeah, like, owning it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, it's crazy that scents can do that for you.
Yeah, I know. Like, I have like a bad bitch perfume that if I need like confidence at work, if I'm doing a presentation, whatever, I always go to. That's Black Orchid. Like, that is my like number one boss lady perfume.
I love Black Orchid. And actually, I got that on Scentbird.
Nice. Yeah. No, that's such a great scent. And it's just like, it's such a weird scent for a floral. Like, it's very dark, and when I first sampled it, I didn't really like it, but then like it had to sit on me for a while. And then I was like, oh my goodness, what's this? And it's so good. Like, that's something I will always own. Like, whenever I finish up my bottle, I'm repurchasing it. Like, it's so good. But yeah, so. So what do you pick? What, story do you have for scent of the week, Jesus, fragrance in the news?
So I didn't find like a recent article that kind of spoke with me.
Mm-hmm.
But I did find an article from BBC News, and it, okay, was posted like December 12, 2019 about how millennials are changing the perfume business. So perfumes have existed for like 5,000 years, and the scents haven't really changed much. Mm-hmm. So this article kind of goes talking about that, how more millennials are driving of more natural scents and more unisex fragrance, that kind of stuff. So and apparently citrus is one of the really big ticket item kind of things that when someone is looking for a perfume.
Mm-hmm.
And they also stated that, you know, there's different scents for women and different scents for men. Mm-hmm. So women are typically like amber, florals, oak, moss with fruity notes for women. And then for men is more like woody and leather notes.
Mm-hmm.
But like for me, I mean, I like the woody fragrances sometimes. So I can kind of, you know, empathize with this. And I don't know if empathize is the right word, but yeah. I kind of see that in myself. So I just thought it was really interesting how the perfume industry is it's changing because a new generation is coming into play and people who are our age are now working in the perfume industry. And they're kind of, you know, driving more for, you know, neutral unisex smells.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
Yeah. And I feel like sustainable and like clean, like that's a whole part of it too. That's what they really, and I, you know, which is cool. Like they want to be more environmentally conscious. And I know some brands now are like making refillable bottles. Like, I know Terry Mugler has been doing that for a minute. And Killian, I like blanked him by Killian. He's like a more expensive one, but he has refillable bottles. So you're starting to see those pop up more, which I think it's a good idea. Like, I don't know. I feel like refillable bottles are still fairly new. So I don't know why it took them so long to think about that. Cause it seems very simple and it seems like a good way to like not have to, you know, spend a lot of money on packaging or whatever. And it can create loyalty. Cause it's like, as soon as you're done, you just go and get it refilled wherever. But yeah, I think that's interesting. And like a lot of places now, like obviously because of COVID, but I think it's also like this trend that you speak of, they're really changing on how like you buy perfumes too. Cause it's like, I mean, I still love going to the mall or going to Sephora, you know, obviously during regular times and just like spraying at this coming, leaving all crazy. Like I do what you probably shouldn't do when you're trying to sample. And it's just like, I'll spray it on the stick and then I'll spray it on myself to see how it'll smell. It's all how like 10 different areas. Yeah. And it's just like, I'm rabid. But now a lot of places and I've seen a few companies that they'll ship you the full size bottle and they'll also ship you a sample. So you can try the sample. And if you don't like it, you can just ship your bottle back and get your money back, which I think is really cool.
That is cool. I didn't know that they were doing that, but here's what I don't understand is like, I feel like we're moving back to how it used to be. So when I say that, I mean like in like the 1800s even in the early 1900s, women, like, I mean, wearing perfume was in this big bottle with the little poof thing. Weren't those refillable?
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. Cause I think for like, they were like, I don't know if they came in those bottles, but yeah, like they would definitely like, you could refill them, I think, because it was like little fancy atomizers.
Yeah. So, and that's why I feel like ourselves kind of working backwards because, you know, when my adoptive grandfather, he was 104 years old, and he would tell me stories about how they would get milk and it was always in a glass bottle. And then you leave the glass bottle on your porch and they bring a new one, you know, so that generation wasn't polluting the environment kind of thing. They were using sustainable, you know, they would use paper bags and there wasn't really a large amount of plastics, like that kind of thing. So I feel like we're working backwards.
Yeah. I'm fine with that though, because like you said, like, I feel like now, like we've got so many single use items and like some stuff could easily be refillable. And in some cases, refillable is like more convenient, you know, like, so I think that's not entirely a bad thing. I'm down with it, especially like, and I would even go so far, I mean, within reason, to say if we go back to like with the perfume ones, like everything's starting to be refillable, I would be willing to pay a little bit more for the bottle if like the bottle's more ornate and beautiful, if it means that I can refill it. Because that way it's like you have this beautiful piece of artwork on your vanity and it's refillable. Like you don't have to throw it out.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I would love that. I mean, that's something that I would spend like $150 on, like, yeah, a really, really nice, like, because it's something that you're going to have for a really long time and yeah, you're going to just keep pulling in, you know, getting those fragrances and refilling it. And, you know, even if you have two different scents, you've got two different bottles, like, but yeah, you're going to refill them. So I think that I would be willing to do something like that. Like, I'd be willing to use a refillable, really gorgeous bottle because, you know, it does something for you.
Put it on. Like, it makes you feel pretty. Like, the scent makes you feel pretty. And then, like, picking up that like gorgeous bottle, just like you're like, yes, I feel No, I think that's, and I mean, I feel like it would be good for brands because it's like customer loyalty, you know, it's just like, I'm going to keep buying this, your brand, the same perfume as long as you make it because I got this bomb ass bottle and clearly I like it.
See, and that's just like, these bottles I think are really gorgeous. Like they're really beautiful, but it's one time. Yeah. So you're not going to keep dead bottles around, right? As much as like, it's gorgeous, it's beautiful. Yeah. I'm not going to keep it around.
Right.
So I think having something like a refillable, I mean, I'm down. Like, let's do it.
Yeah. Same. I think more, and I feel like more perfumers might hop on the bandwagon since people are like, sustainability and the environment, like, are top of mind. Like, I think more and more, we'll see more and more perfumers hop on the bandwagon. I mean, I don't know, but that's my prediction. We'll see if we can. But
it's a smart marketing move.
Yeah.
You know, because like you said, it does create that brand loyalty. It, you know, because not only are you providing a beautiful scent, but you're providing a beautiful experience.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's part of the appeal of wearing perfume is the experience of it. Yeah. That's really interesting. I think it's so interesting how far we've come just in the nature of like what people like as far as scent wise. Because I feel like in the 90s, obviously, I was a kid, so I don't know any better, you know, but...
I was wearing, like, stuff from Claire's or... Yeah. You know, and I thought, I was just, like... I remember I had a... When I was in high school, this is terrible. Oh, my gosh. I had a... My favorite perfume at the time when I was in high school, which we're not going to say because I'm not that old, but I'm not that young. It was White Musk from,
Jovan or whatever,
like Walgreens or something, in the little spray bottle, and if you left it in your car it would like kind of like expand and you're like, is this gonna blow up? This might actually blow up.
But
that was like my favorite, was like that White Musk. Like I don't know why
it's, people still show that love. Like if it's the Jovan one, which is like super cheap, I watch like YouTube perfume review videos, and people will do like their favorite cheapies, and White Musk is usually in there because they say it like it smells good for the price point. You can't beat it. I used to think Bath and Body Works was like fancy, and then when I was a kid, and then like then it was Victoria's Secret. Like that was my adult. My mom wore Sweet Pea Bath and Body Works Splash, and I would sometimes wear that. And then my first grown fragrance was Dream Angels Divine from Victoria's Secret, because I thought Victoria's Secret was like grown sexy. To me, like in the 90s when I would, you know, all like stuff like Poison, like you would, I remember walking past like Perfume Mania in the mall and just getting a whiff of like everything, and it always smelled like old lady and flowery and stuff, so, and very heavy. I feel like that was a lot of vintage perfumes are like super heavy, so it's kind of cool to see like, some people are still into those, but it's interesting to see the evolution, because now it seems like a lot of people are down with like citrusy, like you said, clean, just fresh scents.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I still like wearing my weird, like I said, Black Orchid. I'll get down with this Oud Satin Mood, you know, with the sample. Like I still like to wear like some more ones that just flirt with it. Is it too much? You know, like. I do have my freshies and stuff too, but I do like to kind of sample those. Like, let's play with this and see if I like it or see if I hate it. We'll see. So my article, it's actually pretty, it's nothing like too crazy. It's from whowhatwhere.com, and it's about Zara perfumes, which I don't own any Zara perfumes, but YouTube gives Zara a lot of love because apparently they have really good fragrances, and the price point, I mean, you can't beat it. It's like under $30. And I know that they get like pretty well-known people to collab. So I think Zara just came out with a collaboration with like Jo Malone. It's like Jo Malone for Zara. And if you know Jo Malone colognes, I don't particularly like them. I think they're kind of boring, but, and they're expensive for what you get, but they're okay, you know. But apparently Jo Malone came out with a selection for Zara. So it's like you can, if Jo Malone's out of your price point, which I never even smelled the Jo Malone Zaras, but just like my experience with actual Jo Malone colognes, I feel like the better bet's probably going to be the Zara, because Jo Malone, like, I had like a little mini, like a little deluxe sample I got at Sephora, and it was okay, but they don't last very long. And like a full size bottle is like hundreds, like $100 or something. Like, it's just like, just get the Zara version. You know, I feel like it's probably going to smell the same anyway. So this is going through the different, what they recommend. And I have heard Big Love for Rich, Warm, and Addictive. I think that's considered, I think that's in the tobacco collection, which is technically men's, but a lot of women like it too, because it's, I guess it's just smooth. And then they came out with a French pastry in Paris, which is like lemon bar type of thing, which sounds really, really nice from what I've heard. I think with Zara, like, the longevity is not great, but again, like, you're spending under $30 for it, like, you can just reapply, you know, like, it's, they sound like good purse perfumes, like you say, like, if you just want to freshen up or whatever, like, just throw it in there. So we'll go through this list. The first one they say they recommend is Wonder Rose Splash, and they say it's a classic floral. It's got pear, vanilla, and red berries, and it's $18. And I think, like, they're all, like, the 100 mil, so they're all, like, pretty big bottles, too, for what you get. But you can't beat it. The second one they talk about is Pink Flambé Summer, and they say this will transport you to fun and carefree summer nights. And it's got notes of mandarin, melon, and praline. So kind of like a sweet floral, which actually sounds really pretty. Number three, they have Fields at Nightfall. This is a woodier scent. So it's got hedione, don't know what that is, jasmine, and sandalwood. So they say it's woody and a little bit floral at the same time. Number four is Lightly Bloom. And they've got lotus flower, peony, and musk. And they say this is a good office scent. That actually sounds really pretty. Sounds very light and very, like, I don't know, very nice. This
that's
one,
that's, oh, go ahead. I want to try.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I'll shoot you the link. It's $26 and you're probably just on the website.
I want to see. Keep going, because I want to see if it's on. I am so sorry.
Okay. That's okay. This one that's coming up, Gourmand Addict, is something that sounds like it'd be right up my alley. It's got patchouli, so that's one of those notes too. It's got to be done just right, because that could be overwhelming. But it's got peach and cassis with patchouli, so that sounds like it could be, if it's blended right, it sounds like it could be really nice. Number six is Sel de Pamplemousse, which is grapefruit, but it also has spice and pink pepper and vetiver. That sounds really nice too. That sounds kind of similar. Well, no, I have one with rose and pink pepper, which is really cool. Very fresh and kind of spicy. So this one sounds really pretty. Number seven is Hopeful Bergamot. And that is, let's see, it's an eau de cologne, so it's not going to last very long, but it has orange blossom and gaiac wood. And that's $14. I know I haven't been saying the price points for all these, but links to this will be in the show notes, so just look up there if anybody is curious. Nude Bouquet is number eight, and it's got cherry, peony, and vanilla. New Wheat, this sounds like a really sexy one. It's apricot, lily of the valley, and vanilla. Just the bottle looks, it's like the purplish pink, and it goes to an ombre to the black. So that just sounds like it's something that would be a little bit sexier, at least from, you know, from what the bottle looks like. Santal Glow. Now, I have heard that sometimes Zara has, if not dupes, and very close similar fragrances to more popular, more expensive fragrances. So they have one called Santal Glow, and I'm wondering if this is a dupe for Santal Blush, which I don't know the fragrance of Santal Blush. I know it's, I don't say, I don't even know who makes it. I've seen it, but I can't, off the top of my head, I don't know who makes it, but it's expensive, but people seem to love it. But I'm wondering if this is like one of those, like, you can get it from Zara for cheaper and get the same type of smell. This one has sandalwood, freesia, and violet florals. Up next, we have Ruby Berries, and it's got red fruits, peach and vanilla. Then we have red vanilla, and this is another bottle that looks sexy. It's cassis, iris, and vanilla. That one sounds like it might be kind of powdery. Number 13 is Femme, and it's peony, vanilla, and musk. That sounds really nice, too. That sounds, they say it could be like a signature scent fall and winter. Like, it sounds like it's a cozy little fragrance. Yeah,
for sure.
And then next up is Tuberose, and that one is cassis, tuberose, and vanilla. I feel like you can't go wrong with vanilla. I personally love vanilla in fragrances.
I love vanilla, like that warm vanilla scent. That's one thing that will get me every time.
Yep. Same here. Number 15 is coral cassis, and it's got cassis and then jasmine and musk. And that's it for this list. And then bonus, what I've heard good things about were French pastry in Paris and rich, warm, and addictive. And really, like, for the price points, like, these are, like, $18, $20. I think the most expensive one I saw in here was, like, $26. Like,
oh, that's not bad.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what I had for fragrance in the news. Don't forget to send me a link to your article so I can put it in the show notes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like I said, links to both articles will be in the show notes if you want to read more yourself or if you want to see... look up any of the Zara perfumes that I mentioned. If Zara wants to sponsor me, I'm not going to say no to that either. I'm always trying to jones for sponsors. Yeah. That wraps up this episode. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, this was fun. Yeah, me too. So where can they catch you online if you want them to catch you online?
So I have Facebook, Kristen Hanson Owen, and then I also have Instagram, which is Chrissy, K-R-I-S-S-I dot Schoen, S-C-H-O-E-N.
Cool. And if you want to catch up with me, I'm at Pinot and Perfume on Instagram. The links, obviously, are my bio there. If you use Peloton, if you work out Peloton, or you're bougie and you have the bike or the tread, I use the app. I'm hashtag Pinot and Perfume there. And you can also email the show, sarahchacon784@gmail.com. And as always, if you wanted to like and subscribe, review on Apple Podcasts, that would be great. That'll help make the show more pop up for more people. And yeah, you guys have a great weekend. Whatever you're doing, you have fun. Be safe. Most importantly, make sure you smell good.
Bye. Pinot and Perfume is hosted and produced by yours truly, Sarah Chacon. Theme music is Around the Bend by Evan Schaefer.